The 2020 Virginia General Assembly session convenes Wednesday, January 9th, this Wednesday, and for the first time since the 1993, the Democrats control both the House of Delegates and the State Senate and the Governor's Mansion. It's a long session in Richmond this time when the biennial budget must also be crafted. 17th District Republican Delegate Chris Head joins WFIR reporter anchor Gene Moreno and me live in studio this morning before he heads off to the capital city of Richmond. Hi, Chris. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you, Joey.
Yes, sir. Good to have you back. Now, before we get into the particulars about the session that opens up this week, Chris, do Republican legislators see the Democrats who now control the agenda overplaying their hand? Can the GOP make that case to Virginians, Chris? And do you see room for bipartisanship on some certain issues?
Yeah, yes and no questions are really, really tough to answer like that. But I would say, in some cases, yes, we do see them overplaying their hand. Yes, we think that it's going to be a problem. It's going to be challenging because I think you've got a lot of pent up demand and anxiety over the years, so that you've got, you know, I mean, it's been 26 years since they've had the chance to run the show. Mm-hmm. And there's been a huge sea change there. So I think you're going to see some more difficulty with it being bipartisan. But I've, you know, we've got colleagues over there. Now, the interesting thing about it is this will be my ninth session. If you look at the seniority stacks, there are only 10 Democrats in the House of Delegates that have more seniority than I have now. So there's been a lot of turnover, a lot of new faces that are there. But you know, we'll see. The only concern that I have really about it is the representation for our area, is that the leadership of the Democrat Party is entirely coming out of the Beltway. So you've got not just Northern Virginia, but an inside the Beltway mentality that's going to be driving the boat. And that concerns me a little bit because, it, you know, people jokingly and sometimes not so jokingly laugh about the difference between there's Virginia and then there's Nova. And when Nova is driving the legislative boat, we don't really know what we're going to get. But they've got, you know, they've got the same kind of restrictions on them now. It's a lot different to be on the opposition and throwing stones than it is to actually govern. And so we'll have to wait and see how they actually can do this. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get some bipartisan work done. Mm-hmm. It remains to be seen. But, you know, we'll know a lot more. I'll know a lot more by the end of this week after we've gotten things started, sort of see what the tone is.
Okay. This is sort of a follow-up question, Chris. You know, how do Republican lawmakers stay relevant in this? The Democrats sound like they're going to come out with a whole or some more progressive types of legislation, bills, that type of thing. How do the Republicans stay relevant?
Well, you know, a lot of different ways. First of all, most of the legislation that we deal with, if it follows anything at all like years past, the vast majority of the legislation that we deal with really has to do with mundane stuff,
really don't realize.
Right. I mean, we'll have literally usually several thousand pieces of legislation that we'll look at. And a lot of it will be things like giving the city of Newport News permission to cut the grass on a vacant lot. I mean, that this because of our Dillon's Rural State status.
Everything has to go through
the General Assembly for permission for localities to do things. And so a lot of stuff goes on like that. And that's going to continue to be regardless of who is in control of that. The way you maintain relevance, though, is to call up and really call out the overreach that's there. That was their role with us. There were times that we would have legislation out there that perhaps reached a bit too far, and they would highlight that, and that's where you begin to go, okay, maybe we ought to throttle that back a little bit. It's going to go the other way. It's going to definitely go the other way, but we're hopeful that we can call out issues and say, that's too far, and really call that out and make sure that that's communicated. When you're in the opposition, your biggest role is to be again the opposition and highlight the things that are vastly wrong with the other side.
Hmm. We talk with 17th District Republican Delegate Chris Head, and goes back to Richmond, I guess probably today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about one of those controversial issues: gun control issues.
Yes.
Funny I bring that up, but what would you? Chris, do you see the Republicans as a whole backing at least better background checks? Would there be any type of a ban on assault-style weapons that you think Republicans would back in the majority? I know there have been several statewide polls, Chris, that show that there is support, majority support, for things like universal background checks and even a ban on certain types of weapons. But what do you think, what would you support and what do you think your party would support in general?
First of all, let me talk about the polling that's out there, because when you start peeling the onion back, polling results can be manipulated, and it always depends on how you ask the question as to whether there is overwhelming support. I've also heard some of the folks on the other side of the aisle say that there were, you know, 95% of the people agree on this issue. And, gee, 95% of the people don't agree on whether the sky is blue. I mean, you know, 95% of the people don't agree on anything. So that is just a bunch of hooey when you say that there is this broad base of support for some of these things. There are concerns that are out there, and when you ask a knee-jerk question, you can get knee-jerk reactions. Now, as far as what I can support,
right,
nothing beyond what we currently have. Not one thing beyond what we currently have would I support, because I don't think we need it. You've got to understand that we are living in a commonwealth that has one of the lowest violent crime rates in the entire nation. There are only three states that have a lower violent crime rate than we do, and that's New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. Interestingly enough, those three states are three of the ones that have less restrictive gun rights than we do here in Virginia. Vermont has the least restrictive gun possession rights of the entire nation. And so, you know, it really, there's not any kind of correlation between any of the things that have been proposed and a reduction in gun violence. Contrarily, there is evidence to support that if you take these actions, you're going to have more problems. And, you know, it bothers me when we have issues that come up and you don't want to look at the facts. You want to look at just the fear that's out there that people have. And my concern is that when you start crafting legislation and making decisions and you think with your feelings rather than thinking with your brain, you end up getting into problems. And it's a dangerous road. And that's what I see happening with this issue.
One of the things that, Chris, a lot of Republicans from President Trump on down, and people really both sides of the aisle, they talk about the mental health aspect. We've got to at least
Absolutely.
Do a better job. So can you see maybe some sort of a compromise where the mental health aspect would be either welded to the legislation or a bill of its own to kind of get make sure more people are getting mental health, people that you want to keep away from guns?
You don't need to necessarily attach the mental health to the firearms in a single piece of legislation. It becomes a real problem when you start doing things like that, I think. Now, what we do have to do, for example, I think we've got to find some ways to allow employers to report things that they are afraid to report right now, because you know, we worry about preserving the rights of people in the workplace and not getting them into help, and then things escalate because the employer, three employers back, knew about something, saw behavior that they were concerned about. They went to the next one, it got worse, went to the next one, it got still worse. And finally, they get to the one where there's some sort of an explosion. That doesn't, you know, explosion may not be and usually wouldn't be related to anything having to do with firearms. But there needs to be a way for us to address those issues. If it wasn't mental health and a societal problem, you know, the weapon that is used when somebody bursts out violently is not the issue. It's the cause that we've got to get around and be looking at. And a great illustration of that is that if you look in London right now, they've got a big growth. You know, you can't have the guns over there like we can. They've got a big growth in stabbings to the point that Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, last year, actually 2018, issued an out and out ban on knives. Because we can't have the stabbing, so we've got to ban knives. And, you know, that is, to me, so laughable, because what are you going to end up doing next? Ban sharp sticks. That's not the issue. The weapon is not the issue. It is the cause behind that we've got to get in, and that's more difficult to do. But that would actually help us solve some of the problems.
All right, it is 8:53. We're speaking with 17th District Republican Delegate Chris Head this morning. Chris, let's touch on some other issues here while we have a couple of minutes. Do you think we'll see a minimum wage increase? In some places, it's up to $15 an hour here, $7.25. Chris, although some private companies like Colonial Downs raising the minimum wage already, what are your thoughts?
Well, I personally don't support raising it that much. I, you know, I, raising it some Probably wouldn't be that detrimental. Raising it the way that has been proposed, I think, would be pretty devastating to our area because it's not an organic thing. It drives prices up when you do things artificially. And the areas around the country that have just taken the step to raise it to $15 an hour have seen spiraling costs and an increase in unemployment. It has exactly the opposite effect of what some of the proponents wanted to have. Another concern that I have with it is what it will do to our state budget, because there are several services that are out there, primarily in the social services area, that are currently pegged well below in the rate that they pay for both contractors and to individuals that they hire, pegged well below what the proposed minimum wage is. And I'm concerned with what this will do to the state budget the way that it is currently proposed. I really prefer that we keep our minimum wage pegged to whatever the national minimum wage is. That keeps a level playing field across all the state lines. The action hasn't been taken. It's been a long time since it's gone up. $7.25, it's been for a long, long time. So I think it probably could go up. I'm not in favor of us doing that unilaterally here in Virginia.
Quickly, would you support an ERA amendment? And if not, why not?
Well, I don't, but there are a variety of reasons why. First of all, understand that I am very much in support of equal rights for women. If anyone knows either of my daughters, my wife, if you had ever known my mother or my mother-in-law, you know that I come from a family of incredibly strong women, and they would not put up with anything less than my supporting equal rights. The problem with the Equal Rights Amendment is that, first of all, the way that it is written, there are some serious problems with it as far as what it could lead, because it's a very broad, open thing, and there's some issues that I'm concerned that it could be twisted to, and I've spoken about that. We don't really have time to get into all of that this morning. But more than that, or as much as that, is that it's expired. This was an amendment that
was proposed by Congress, and
Congress has to go back and do it again. And the Supreme Court has even opined on this. There was a lawsuit back in the 80s that addressed whether the extension that Congress put on it was done legally. And the Supreme Court came back and said, it's a moot point because that's expired. This is a dead amendment. It has to go back and start over again. So to think that we could do this and it's somehow going to change this and make this we would be the 36th state to do it. And so now it's going to become a constitutional amendment, be adopted as part of our Constitution. It wouldn't happen. There's overwhelming evidence, and as I say, a Supreme Court case on that. So what I would support, and what I did support last year, was signed on to a resolution asking Congress to submit another one that addresses the concerns that people have had about the wording on it, but gets it done so that we can start this process over again and take it that way. I think that's the direction we need to go.
All right. We're talking with 17 District Delegate Chris Head. Got about a minute left. I hate to do this, but what's at the top of your agenda? Maybe the more meat and potato stuff. Anything in particular you want to push through?
Well, I mean, it's very similar to last year, some of the things that I'm looking at, and it's limited this year just because I think this is going to be a year for us to watch and listen more than try to stir the pot. Again, things on trying to lower the cost of health insurance and lower the cost of health care, working in those directions. Those are the issues that have been working on since I got there, and a few issues with senior adults as well. So
with the tables flipped, it's going to be another 15, 20 seconds. It's going to be an interesting year, huh?
Well, it's going to be a very interesting year. It was either a Chinese proverb or curse, depending on who you talk with. May you live in interesting times. Well, it has come here. We are living in interesting times. I just hope everybody will pay attention and listen carefully.
All right, that's for sure. 17th District Delegate Chris Head, good luck in Richmond over the next long session, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. Thanks, Joey.